Blog Talk Radio. The Ladder of Love. That's a big title. It's a big book. Love's a big topic. The music you heard at the beginning of the show is called Eagerly Pleased, composed with love by my nephew Miles DeBastian. I'm a woman on a mission, and that mission is to have you and everyone else have the best love life possible in this new millennium. But before this can happen, you're going to have to learn a few new tricks. Joining me tonight, as always, is my co-host and producer, Nicole. Nicole is a beautiful young woman, a writer, an entrepreneur, and a lesbian, not necessarily in that order. And she's here to share her love stories and war stories with us. She's the voice that will make all of us women stop blaming everything on the opposite sex, since Nicole knows women are making some of the same kinds of mistakes in their relationships with each other. Hi, Nicole. How has the week been for you, and how's life treating you?
Oh, everything is great, Cindy.
Good. Business-wise, love-wise?
Business-wise is wonderful, you know, things, like I said a couple weeks ago, you know, I was a little bit concerned, and then, you know, once I decided just to let it go and I realized what I had to get in order, you know, things have been picking up ever since, you know, it's just the universe's way of telling me that, you know, that I'm missing a couple of things, so you might as well start working on the details. So, you know, I've been doing that and keeping very, very busy, and as far as my love life, I cannot complain.
Good. And sometimes, you know, business gets a little slow when we've been working really hard. Sometimes God gives us a little break that we might not give ourselves. So I hope you, and instead of worrying ourselves silly, we sometimes need to, you know, just enjoy that little downtime because, you know, the nature of hardworking people is life will go on and work will continue. So yeah. I hope you learned that. Now, in the Long Island Press this week, there is a little tiny little article that I found really interesting, and I thought I would share it with you. And
okay.
It says, a new study out of Oregon State University found that young people have different interpretations when it comes to monogamous relationships.
Oh, dear Lord.
Researchers
oh, dear Lord.
434 couples between the age of 18 and 25 and found some interesting results. In 40%, one partner said they'd agreed to be monogamous, while the other said they didn't.
What?
So it kind of means that, you know, what we're always talking about, how, well, are you supposed to be monogamous? Well, we didn't talk about it, but I think we are. Like, one person thinks they are, the other person says, mm-mm. Young couples with children were less likely to be monogamous. Now, isn't that odd?
Yeah,
and about 30% of couples who swore they were faithful found out one member had cheated. The study also discovered that it doesn't matter if you put a ring on it. Married couples were no less likely than unmarried ones to be unfaithful. Our final interpretation of this study, love stinks. Now, that's, of course, the Long Island Press's comment, but
that's great.
I thought it was interesting because we're talking about that commitment phobia all the time. One foot in, one foot out, and how I'm always telling people, don't assume that, you know, he's not still dating someone or she's not still dating somebody if you haven't talked about it. And just that whole thing with monogamy, it's like, you know, and that the married people are just as likely to cheat as unmarried ones. So it's information we kind of know anyway. But that was from the 18 to 25-year-olds. I'm not so sure it's that different from older people as well. What do you think, Nicole? Now that you're not 25, now that you're not MTV generation anymore.
Oh, yeah, no, I'm no longer MTV generation, that's for sure. You know what? I don't know. I really can't see the statistics being any that much. I really can't see the statistics being that much more off for older people because, I mean, in my experience, even people that are in my age bracket, nobody has any idea what monogamy is. You know, it's like, you know, they find loopholes for just about everything nowadays. You know, and one thing that I definitely agreed with, whatever that I think is true for any spectrum, is, you know, the whole just because you have a ring on it does not mean, you know, that, you know, you are free from, you know, worrying about whether or not, you know, your partner is monogamous or not. Because, again, like I said, I know a lot of married people who are not faithful, and, you know, they have that piece of paper, they have that ring, and they just, it doesn't mean as much to them anymore. But meanwhile, a lot of the gay couples that I know have been together for years and would never even think about cheating, and guess what? We're not allowed to get married. So, you know, I mean, and I'm clumping that together within the gay community right there, you know. So, I mean, gay couples are not allowed to get married, yet they somehow manage to stay faithful to one another, whereas with people that are allowed to get married, the sanctity just doesn't seem to be there anymore.
Right, and it's one of those things. Our description of marriage is heart, soul, mind, body, love, and committed to it, and committed to healing. And, of course, we're all working very diligently hard to make sure that gay couples do have the civil right and the religious right to marry. And, you know, I don't know if we're going to see it all the way fully in, I don't know about my lifetime. I'm sure with yours you will see it. But, you know, there's always those people trying to stop progress, you know.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know what, I mean, honestly, like, and most gay people that I know that do push for that right would probably hate me for saying this, but I don't even, gay marriage, although I would love to see it go through, it's not something that I particularly even need.
Right,
you know,
and that's what I'm saying.
That's
again,
more or less like, you know what, if I commit to somebody, I commit to somebody, and I don't need New York State to tell me that I'm committed. I know that I'm committed.
Exactly.
You know, if
but
I want to have
like
my own little ceremony, then I'll have my own little ceremony. You know what, I don't need New York State to say, yeah, okay, this is what it is.
But again, we're just also fighting for the health insurance benefits for some, you know, couples. Sometimes that's why they might want to marry. It's,
yeah.
You know, I mean, they,
yeah,
they're all
is.
Committed, but... You know, if they don't have health insurance, it, you know, it's important that they should, you should be able to give that for your partner if you love her. And, you know, that's the kind of thing that I think they should have the legal right to decide
yeah.
that. So, anyway, I know we have a lot of callers tonight. So do
we
you want
do.
To, did, I know you didn't screen the first caller.
No, I never screened the first caller. We are going to go over to the 646 area code first and see what they have to say.
Great.
Hello, you're on the air.
Hello?
Hello, this is
Hello.
Cindy, and who is this?
Oh, hi, my name is Amaka.
Okay, and where are you calling from?
Oh, I'm calling from Palmdale,
okay.
California.
Okay. And did you have something that you wanted to share with us or a question you needed some answering?
Yeah, I do have a question, if you don't mind.
Sure, of course.
Looking into. Thank you. I just wanted to know what you see or feel in regards to me and a gentleman that I know. He's a photographer and photo editor of my magazine, so we work together. And I wanted to know if you see our relationship, friendship going deeper.
Okay. How long have you known him now?
Getting close to a year.
Okay.
I met him through another photographer.
Okay. It looks very promising for you in terms of there being a soulmate connection here. He's a little afraid of getting involved. Are you aware of that?
I kind of think so because we had like an intimate little thingy, but then I just kind of felt him pull back, and so I've pulled back because I don't want to.
Right.
I'm
and
just kind of wondering.
And again, the intimate little thingy, if it had only been a little intimate thingy, he might not have pulled back. He might have kept coming towards you. It looks like there's a very strong connection here, and that tended to scare him. So I'm sure you're wondering why it was intimate and it was good, and it does look like you had a good encounter with him.
Yeah, I mean, sorry to cut you off, but we didn't go all the way. It was just a moment, I guess, that few moments. So I actually stopped it before I went further.
Right. And you, from these cards, it looks like you stopped it because you were sensing some fear, not only in yourself but in him. And you do have a wonderful five-year period opening up. Pretty much what you want is yours. But this man has some commitment issues.
Mm-hmm.
And you have a little bit of them, too. Do you mind me asking your age? It can be, you know, just...
Sure. I'm 31.
Okay, that's what I thought, because you're the generation... That's how old my daughter is. Well, she'll be 31 tomorrow. It's her birthday. your generation is a kind of commitment phobic, that they want love, and then, you know, sometimes they'll just run from it. Oftentimes, they don't even want to call it relationships. They won't even go there. It's like booty calls and friends with benefits and hookups.
Yeah.
So because, you know, what's going on now is people don't think they need to define things, which is all well and good. It just makes, I mean, sometimes I wonder how you guys function. It's like you never know what you are. And for him, he cares about you, but it looks like he had a really bad relationship in the past. Did he talk to you about that?
Yeah, he told me, I mean, a few actually, but there was one in particular I guess he was really hurt by, but he told me a few downers in terms of relationship he's had in the past.
Right, so what he's seen is that love starts out good and then it stinks. So that's enough to make people get afraid. But he hasn't learned so much from his past mistakes. So, you know, when a person keeps having one toxic relationship after another, you can't keep blaming on other people. You have to say, what am I doing? Is it this? What is it that I might not be seeing and doing that's bringing this on? And one piece of information that people need to break some patterns is to understand that we always have to relive our parents' marriage. And for a lot of your generation, that's not good news. And if we've judged our parents, our mother, our father, we're going to duplicate their behavior. With one relationship, say if your mother had been the boss, you might end up being, you know, subservient because you were trying to figure out your father's role in all of this. The next relationship after you played the slave, you might want to be the master, and then, you know, you're playing the opposite parent role. So it takes a while to sort of work all that out of our system.
Yeah.
So with him, you might want to actually begin to talk with him, but true commitment phobics and the nature that he has, because he really has strong feelings for you, and because you work together, I don't think he wants... it looks like he has been involved with a woman at work once, and it really went badly, and it affected his job.
Yeah.
So he may not want to go that route again. But if you could go in there saying, look, I'm going in here, you know, let's stick 2 feet here and see what happens. If it doesn't work, we'll end without drama and trauma. He's just afraid of that, all that drama. He tends to pick drama queens sometimes.
Pretty much. And it's funny because I remember we had one conversation and I said, you know what, some of the stories that you've told me, one thing I've picked up is drama, drama, drama. And I told him, I'm like, I don't like drama. I hate confrontation, so I hate drama. I hate tension. So when we have photo shoots, like, you know, I'm like, I want everyone to be kumbaya. I want kumbaya moments, you know.
Right,
and not
exactly.
So
and because
he
is a person, he hasn't learned you can have passion without drama. He's a passionate guy because he's creative.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
What you want to tell him is, you know, we can have passion without drama here. And because he tends to get involved in all of this and he tends to have mixed the two up, you may find, you know, if you're not the one fueling the drama, he will. Normally, the women are pretty good in his, you know, of being these hysterical drama queens.
Mm-hmm.
He may end up being the drama queen this time around with you. And so you might want to just have some of the talk about with him, although it looks like it isn't going to be easy to get him to talk with you. Has he been avoiding?
Yes. Well, because I actually noticed, and I was going to ask you another question. I know there are other callers waiting, but I did notice, like, I feel like he's doing his best not to, how should I say it, like trying to resist anything. I don't know, maybe it's just
yes,
me, but
he
I
is.
Just.
Yes, he
yeah,
is.
He's doing his best trying to resist. Like when we had a meeting with some people for a photo shoot we had, and I dropped him off by the car, it's almost like he dashed out of the car. And I'm like, okay. You're like, oh, okay, we were talking, laughing, Nixon. He was like, all right, bye. And he just kind of zipped out of the car. And then I did want to ask, though, there is a female I know that he's been with and, you know, dating, so to speak. prior to my coming into the picture, and I know
they're still connected.
Yeah, and I wanted to know what.
And that's the problem with your generation, because of texting, emailing, and everything. Your generation tends to keep one foot with their ex-lover, texting, emailing, booty calls at moments of weakness.
Mm-hmm.
That they're not, they don't fully break away, and they really are toxic love, and they really have some issues that they haven't resolved. So, the problem is, do you want him to have one foot with her, one foot with you? He's afraid he's going to mess it up with you, so that's the main thing. And with her, he knows he could just about do anything. He could throw acid in her face, and she's going to stay with him. She's a safety zone. You are, if he puts it out there and he has strong feelings for you and he does his drama routine and you run, he wants to make sure he has her.
Mm-hmm.
So, knowing if you're going to get involved with him, he is going to keep one foot with her for a while. So, at this point, do you want a man who's unhealed and afraid of love, or are you ready for commitment? Because it looks as if you have some of your own commitment issues. So this love might be there to prove to you love without commitment is pain.
Mm-hmm.
And, pray for that soulmate who's ready, willing, and able to love and commit to you and commit to healing. And pray to be a soulmate who's ready, willing, and able to love and commit and heal back. If it's meant to be this man, the universe will start guiding that. If not, it'll show you why it won't work.
Mm-hmm.
But he's not particularly honest with women. He might tell you that he's not talking with her later on, if he still is. So, just know that he tends to always be involved with drama because he's always been with people who've cheated or he's cheated. It's always been that kind of mess.
Mm-hmm.
And, just go in with your eyes wide open. But I'm not sure he's going to want to do it so soon.
Okay. So it's not
because he doesn't care about you. That's not it at all. That's the mixed messages. He cares about you, and then he just doesn't want to be with you.
Mm-hmm.
But, you could try to have a conversation with him.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's going to be that easy. Maybe you could write him an email or something about your feelings. Again, because it's a work situation, he doesn't want to get involved in too much where, normally when it messes up, if he doesn't want to see them, he doesn't have to.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's that work situation, he's going to have to see you even after it's a mess.
Yeah. I've been told by a few psychics I spoke to told me, he is, he does like me, just like what you said, but I've been told not to do anything, to just hold back and not put myself out there, and then when he's ready, he's going to come forward. And I'm like, okay, and that should just be in the moment.
But with commitment phobics, that could be years. So
you're
31. Do you want to marry?
That's something. My thing is just being in a loving relationship.
Do you want children?
I want children.
Again, if you wait 5 years for this man to come forward, that's a long time. I would put it in my mind, between now and, say, June, if he's not coming forward, and you're giving him positive vibrations, you're acting in a loving and kind way, and telling him how you feel and letting him know if he doesn't come forward, you might need to take 2 feet out of it and see what happens then. Because if he feels, if he fears he's going to lose you, it might force him to come forward. But he's a true commitment phobic. Even though he's been with women, he's never really committed fully. He's always got one foot with one person, one foot somewhere else. So to bring him forward from that, you might have to be the one who, decides, I've had enough of this.
Okay.
So, otherwise this could go on for years.
Oh, no. I'm not trying to go on for years, but,
No, that's what I'm saying. Well, call us and let us know what happens. Try to give him some messages that you would like to go out with him and see what happens. If that doesn't work, pretty much put it in your mind by June you're ready to move forward and, just take 2 feet out of it entirely.
Okay.
Good luck to you, and thanks for calling in.
Thank you. Have a good one.
Oh, boy. Now, doesn't that sound a lot like the little thing I read about people and not being monogamous and not knowing what they want?
Yep, it most certainly does. And the sad part about it is that a lot of these people, you know, do stay unhappy for so long just because they won't let go of their fear.
Exactly.
You know, and they learn the lesson way too late in the game that if they would have just let go the first time, that they could have just saved themselves so much wasted time, you know, being fearful of something that never actually happened.
Or the,
you know,
the rare miracle.
Or better yet, drawing to them exactly what they don't want.
Right, and the rare miracle is by taking 2 feet out, sometimes a person knows they're going to lose you, and they really go to the therapy or they really do the inner healing to come towards you. So it is having the courage to say, how many years am I going to do this dance where I'm not sure if we're anything? And
but you also have to show that person that you value yourself and that you value your time too much.
Exactly.
To allow them to, you know, to play that game. And, you know, you need to show that value for yourself and not be anybody's plan B.
Exactly.
You know, not settle for anybody treating you like a consolation prize.
Now, I know we have another caller. Nicole, did you screen one?
Of course I did. All right, we are going over to Felix in Arlington, Texas. And he has a couple questions regarding his relationship between him and his wife. And he'd like to know, you know, where this relationship is going right now. I guess they're having a little bit of issues there. And he'd like your insight on where his relationship with his wife is going.
Boy, I like when men are interested. Hello.
I love it when men are interested. Hello, Felix.
Hello. Hi. How are you, everyone?
Hi, Felix. Just the fact that you're wanting to have a better relationship is half the battle. So that's a good thing, that you know that there's some issues that need working on. It looks as if sometimes your wife doesn't always play very fair with you. Are you aware of that?
Yes.
And you're a nice person, I could see from these cards. And it's up to you to start loving yourself the way you would love your own child. If, you know, your child was with a person that was pulling some of the nonsense she appears to be pulling on you, what would you tell your child?
Well, I told my child that I love her, that I wanted to be the best for her, and I wanted to be there for her, whatever circumstances we are coming across. I'm a father that I like to caregiver nature my child, and that's one thing that my child and I have good relationship. She's only about she's going to be 4 in May, and
okay,
we have a very bendable.
Your daughter who's 4, if someone was treating her the way your wife treats you, what would you tell her about that person? If it was her husband treating her the way that your wife sometimes treats you, would you tell her it's okay, or would you want her to be treated better?
I want her to be treated better.
Right, and I want you to start loving yourself the way you love your daughter. There's not a lack of love here, but there is, you know, she appears to be a love her child. And the two of you have the capacity to have a loving relationship, but you do have to start telling her what you mean and what you need without being mean about it. Are the two of you working on some communication? Because you need to.
Well, we are communicating little by little. We are coming from a very difficult time right now. We are being separated since 2 months from now. And I know there's love and a lot of, you know, love in there that we have. But the problem that I see is that she is stuck in the past.
Exactly.
Which is not allowing her to go and move forward.
Right. And a lot of times when people are stuck in the past, they don't really want to heal the issues that are on the plate today. And it's not easy to do that. Is it the past with her family, or is it her past with some mistakes you've made? What is the past that she's having trouble moving from?
Well, we both made mistakes, and I know we are realized, both of us, that we need to work on our issue in terms of communication and behavior. And that is the problem that we are coming across. And part of that problem, we have trust issues as well. So it's a lack of poor communication. We hurt each other in the past, and that's why we are stuck on it.
Right, because you started out as soulmates. You started out loving each other. And what happens is because of, you know, you're hurting who hurt who sought revenge, and, mm-hmm. you know, it started to be very toxic. And now if you're going to move forward because you want to bring it back to that soulmate love, it's like you two of you are going to have to start over as if you've met today. And
that's
let's
correct.
See what we can do today. You know, you when you get to the brink of ending a relationship, and that's really taking those 2 feet out, and you choose to come back, she has to put 2 feet back in it. She can't have 1 foot in, 1 foot out. You know, she can't say, well, I'm not sure if I want this, maybe you'll do it again. You, both of you commit to 2 feet in, and we're going to love each other from this day forward and work on our issues that are happening today. And if she would agree to that and say, look, you can't guarantee you're never going to hurt her. Nobody can ever guarantee that, nor can she guarantee that. And you can't guarantee you're never going to die in her, you're never going to leave her. But you can guarantee today you're going to be the best you can be. And she can be the best you she can be today. And, you know, people who can't let go of the past really want to hold on to those toxic relationships, because in toxic love, you're very angry. You don't deal with issues other than anger. If you two come to a place of love, you're going to have to deal with the real issues, that life has been hard. Not only have you betrayed each other, but, you know, our parents have done a number on us as well, and we start having to deal with real issues. For your daughter's sake, it would be wonderful if you could show her that love can go bad, and if we work and heal our issues, we can bring it back up. It looks very promising here, but you have to stop feeling guilty for what you've done in the past. And it doesn't help any for that. You know, it just manipulates you. And with her, have you forgiven her as well?
You know what I was thinking also? I think that looking at her and observing her, based on the relationship that we're having, sometimes I think, and I have to listen to my intuition, is that she trying to probably manipulate the situation. At this point, she's living with her mom and her sister for the fact that because of the financial circumstances that we're in. And I'm looking forward for this relationship, and I'm sure that she also looking forward to meet each other in the near future, whether a month or weeks or whatever circumstances we are. But she seems to be that she has control of the situation, one thing. And secondly, it looks like to me that she's not ready to move forward.
Right, and she's not. And, of course, finances, and I want to stress to our listeners out there, finances destroy many a relationship. It took me a long time to realize my parents, who had started out as soulmates, when the money got tight is when the relationship got really toxic. And if we allow our children to see that, they're going to always have loaded issues about money. They're always going to think money is the evil, or, you know, seek someone with money, or maybe pick a man who's broke because the woman's going to prove that she could love him no matter what. Try to make only love matter. And if you get to that point, the universe will start to bless you with some abundance. God does want to reward soulmates with money and happiness.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, forgive each other for some of the finances that have. Are you both learning how to budget money a little better now?
Well, we actually waiting for tax money coming in, unable to go forward and move together. And that's what we are. And that's what we are. She came forward to me and tells me I'm going to be receiving this tax money. And since I get this tax money, then we could go ahead and move together in our own place. So I don't know if this is going to be happening shortly.
It looks, like it can be shortly. But you need to just see you guys living together visualize you and her as soulmates, loving each other, heart, soul, mind, and body, working as a family together, working at being the best you can be, because just the fact that you want that, the universe will help guide it. So I do see the money being better, you guys living together, and lots of happiness here. But again, sometimes people live in the past because they can't deal with today. We're broke today, and I can't deal with that, so I'm going to deal with the past because, you know, somehow I can control that. That can't even hurt me anymore. The two of you have to realize that, you know, buckle down, work together, get those finances in order so that you could be a family. And, you know, it looks promising here. Do you think that you could...
One thing I realized, and I know you have a lot of... one last question. I know you have a lot of callers behind me. But the only thing is that I'm a very spiritual growth person. And unable, for me, is basically help her spiritually and to grow with me. Now, question to you. If this is the person, a soul, physical person, soulmate that God had or the universe had given me?
Well, we have more than one soulmate, by the way. We have about 30 on the planet, and 45% of the universe is offered a soulmate love. Only 1% are maintaining it. Heart, soul, mind, body, committed love, healed love. You can't be a drug addict, a mean son of a bitch. You can't keep reliving your parents' nonsense, an alcoholic. Most people cannot maintain it. That's where you guys, as soulmates, have to work hard to maintain it. If you're only responsible for her behavior, she keeps wanting to punish you, keep this toxic, you know, prove that all men can't be trusted and love stinks, you might have to walk away from it because you can't do this by yourself.
Okay.
So you would be granted another soulmate, but only after you have done everything you can to see if this one can work. You have a child together. Give it your efforts and, you know, you be the best you can be and see if she can respond. If soulmates bring out the best in each other. If you're trying to be your best and she's still screaming at you and tormenting you, there's a point where no excuses for abuse. It's not soulmate love anymore. It's toxic. So you got toxic. See if you can bring it back up, but it is work and it is healing. Well, good luck to you. Please call in and let us know because we really love when the men are spiritual. They're realizing soulmates. They're wanting it. It's a new breed of men out there. And God bless.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for giving me the time and the opportunity
to be in
this call.
Good night.
God bless you, everyone.
You too.
Good night.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
And Nicole, wasn't that beautiful?
That was
beautiful.
The man
really working at, you know, trying to figure out what soulmates are and what it is. And, you know, we're all struggling with the same issues, but for our children's sake, if we stay toxic, we're going to teach them war. If we just are not speaking, we're teaching them Cold War. If we communicate, we're teaching peace, world peace. So please, one couple at a time, let's do it. Now, Nicole,
you screened
someone else?
I have. All right, who are we going to go to? We're going to go over to Amy in Bayport. Recently she met somebody, and she's doing her, as she called, the whole fearful thing. those are her words, not mine. And she wanted to know, actually, whether or not she should be letting her guard down, and is it just her fear that's psyching her out, or whether or not she's actually really perceiving red flags and should be keeping her guard up.
Boy, good questions.
Yeah. I love that. She's not sure if she's manifesting the red flags or whether or not they're really there, Cindy, because she's a little scared. So maybe you can bring some things to light for her. So here's Amy from Bellport.
Hi, Cindy.
Hi, Amy. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Good. And, yes, those are good questions. I see a lot of worrying here.
Yeah.
So it definitely started out as soulmates, you guys. There's a very strong connection here.
Yeah.
And in the laws of karma, you deserve a soulmate love. Part of it is you're afraid you have some blinders on, you know, because, you know, we all do. Good people tend to see the good in people and not see red flags. Can you name a red flag that you may think you're seeing?
It's been complicated the way the whole relationship started. There's another girl involved, and that's got to come to an end, and it's been just a few months, so that's where...
Okay, just a few months is too long already.
Okay.
You know, I know with TJ, who's my soulmate, he did have, you know, a few other girls floating around. And what I said to him from the beginning is, I don't do that. You know, you put 2 feet in here with me, and we'll see what's there. And he did. Sometimes people will try to act like, well, I can't do it. I don't want to break her heart. I don't want to hurt her. So they're coming across like they're nice about it. But, you know, with him, he has strong feelings for you. This is soulmate. It's scary for both of you. The girl and him are pretty toxic. Does he talk about it
yeah.
with you?
Yep. And that's when we started, I didn't want anything serious with anybody because I had come out of a very bad relationship. So I have not asked him for a commitment. And I think I've actually been more saying, oh, well, you got to keep working at that relationship. But I think now I'm just,
okay, so you told him something, and now you're wondering why he's doing what you told him.
Yeah, it's been like it's been very.
Just him in, listen.
I don't know if I should be saying, okay, look, now it's been a few months, about 3 months. I would like your undivided attention, and like what you said to TJ, I'm not into sharing. Okay, but originally I was only because I didn't want commitment. I was not ready for this relationship.
You got something that you wanted. You wanted a man, but you didn't want commitment. And the universe brought you what you asked for.
Right.
Now, you know, you are sort of changing the rules, but you have changed. You have realized, if I'm going to have love without commitment, I'm going to be in pain. If I'm going to do this dance with him, I'm just going to have another toxic relationship because I'm going to end up hating him and hating myself.
Right, and I was afraid even from the very beginning when he and I were going to start something, I was like, this is going to be hurtful. This is, you know, and I almost was like, I shouldn't be doing this with him because I could get myself hurt. And now I'm, like I said, I'm starting to say, okay, I want her out of the picture now. And it's been bad. I've known that, like, he's been sharing very open and honest about the fights and that he is not in love with her. And he has now even come to me and said, what is it you want? Because he and I have not fully had a dialogue about what we both want. Because we started out kind of being just friends with benefits on the side.
Okay, and the commitment phobia. He's got 1 foot with her, 1 foot with you. He's got a toxic love affair with that unconscious contract. No matter what you do or I do, we stay together. Throw acid in my face and I'm here. Cheat on me and I'm still there. His fears of abandonment are keeping him with her. Now, if nothing else, if you get nothing else out of this, it could be a transition soulmate that shows you love without commitment is pain.
Mm-hmm.
And that you got out of a toxic love. You don't want another one of those. But this one, unless you really are clear and pretty much state, you know, this is Valentine's Day coming up, but you can say it even on that day, look, I want a committed relationship. At the time, I was frightened and scared. But I can't do this anymore. I don't want all this drama. I don't want all of this. Take your 2 feet out. As a sisterhood of women, it's not okay to let men have their cake and eat it too. I don't care what he's saying about her. If he's still with her, he's still choosing her.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, if we would stand together as women saying, look, until you resolve it with her and end it with her, I can't be the other woman. And I'm taking 2 feet out of it. If, you know, I'm still available when you come back, that's good. If I've moved on, then that's good too.
Mm-hmm.
But don't give him the choice to have his cake and eat it too, because he's not healing his issues.
Right.
He's not coming to you. You guys started out with a very strong connection.
Yes.
But you can see that it's starting to get where you're resenting him, you're feeling used, you're feeling that he may stay this way a long time. Nobody is that unselfish to say, look, I really want to leave her, but I can't. I'm afraid I'm going to hurt her. I call people on that nonsense. Mm-hmm. You know, he must be getting something out of this, even if he just has a lot of unhealed anger issues, a lot of rage issues. And she's the woman he can rage with behind closed doors and look normal in the outside world. What is he going to do with all that rage if he comes to you?
Mm-hmm.
So he may be getting some benefits out of it that way, but instead of that, he needs to go to anger management or therapy to find out where else its anger is coming from.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, say what you mean what you say without being mean about it. Just tell
mm-hmm.
him, I want a man who wants to be with me.
Okay.
And, you know, have the courage to take the 2 feet out. Always say the prayer that I'm telling people. Pray for a soulmate who's ready, willing, and able to love and commit to you and commit to healing, but you have to be one who can commit back.
Right. And that's why in the beginning I wasn't sure. I knew I didn't want anything committal. So it kind of worked for both. And now I'm changing to, but I think we're both at the point now where he doesn't know what I want. And he's asked me, what do you want? So it's almost like he wants to hear from me. Yes, I do want more.
And again, he's a man who can't stand on his own 2 feet without a woman. So, you know, he's leaving one woman to you if you will be that one for him. But people who are that needy always end up destroying love and bringing it to that level of no matter what you do or I do, we don't leave each other. So just be careful. Even with you went from a toxic relationship to this. You might need some time to stand on your own 2 feet. Without a man, so that you don't make excuses for abuse, that you don't pick men who are already with somebody else who can't really fully commit to you.
Well, I was with somebody for a while, 6 months, and yeah.
Right, and so see if you can say it and say, look, I thought I could do this, but I can't. It's not me. And, you know, I'm not forcing you to leave her. The choice is her or the choice is me, but it's not both of us.
Mm-hmm.
And let him make the choice. And mm-hmm. if he says, well, I owe her this, I owe that, go, you're fine. Do your closure. Finish it. Try to do it without drama and trauma. You don't have to hate her to leave her.
Yeah.
So don't even go there. But do it, and when you call me or if you call me, it's to put 2 feet in with me.
Mm-hmm.
Because otherwise this looks like he will keep this going for a long time. He might even tell you he's left her and not really do it, because he's not above lying. So you want to make sure if he's saying it, it really is true. So if your inner gut when you're with him and he says, oh, no, I've stopped with her, if you sense he's texting her, talking to her, he probably is.
Okay.
Well, good luck, and let us know what happens.
Okay, thank you
and
so much.
And we'll be saying a soulmate prayer for you, too.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye. Hi, Nicole. Are you
Hi.
Okay, she was a sweetheart.
Oh, yeah, I know. All right, who are we going to move on to now, Cindy? All right, guess what,
I don't
what,
know, you
Cindy?
Have the hard job.
I do. All right, we are actually, guess what, Audrey is back on the line.
Good, and, Audrey, I was wondering what was happening with her. I follow her on Facebook.
Yep, she's back on the line. She had a little bit of medical issues recently, and, you know, that got her worrying, you know, started even more. So, you know, she's wondering if you can set her mind at ease a little bit, Cindy. So here we go. We're going to go over to Audrey.
Hi, Audrey. Hi, dear.
All right, so you've had a little bit of medical issues. What kind of little medical issues? And I hope they really are little.
Well, as long as I don't have surgery, it's a diverticulitis.
Oh, yes,
attack.
Yes. That's because
really
you're worrying
bad.
About money, that chakra. The chakra of money and survival is what, you know, you're under attack right now. It's not a coincidence that it's acted up right now.
Yeah.
And, you know, a little bit of faith and not worrying would be good for you. Again, I still see that big source of income coming through. So the health is definitely stress-related. Are you aware of that?
Yes, I had a feeling. I had a feeling that's what it was. But I also was eating some foods that irritated, the walnuts and nuts. I'm not supposed to have nuts and seeds, but it's been 3 years ago since I had any issues, so I kind of thought I could get away with it, but I guess not.
And also, part of it is tempting the gods a bit here. So I see you going back to your diet and that, you know, your whole stomach issue leveling off. Have you heard anything from the other projects you're dealing with yet?
No, that's what I was hoping you could tell me.
Okay, because there's still a little, I do see a little bit of delay, but
yeah.
Really, it coming through. So
this is the one, do you see me, this is the one that's
this is
closer
in Europe, in Holland?
No, Miami, there's one coming up before
the... Oh,
with
the reality show, the love show.
Yes,
That looks very good here. So,
do you know how long it would be before I hear from them?
Okay, it's, you know, the problem with, there's real time and Hollywood time.
I
and
know.
It's not quite the time of, you know, what we would expect it to be. Was it supposed to start soon? Because it looks like it's delayed a little bit as well.
Well, it's perfect that it's delayed so I can get through these antibiotics. Actually, that's very divine, isn't it?
That's what I'm saying.
To heal.
To get yourself better, because that's the kind of condition you can't be filming and working. It's just not, because you can't predict what's going to happen. Yeah, it looks very promising. So for you, get your health back in line. Don't sabotage your health. You know, when we eat things or drink things or do things we know our body doesn't appreciate, it's a little bit self-sabotaging. You know, we all do it. And, you know, for you, you've been under a lot of stress, and probably you might have eaten a little nuts and it would have been okay if you weren't stressed out. It's just the combination of the mind-body connection.
Yeah, it was strange. I was working out and getting real psyched and doing my visualization and just really on top of the world with Mother Nature. And then the next day, all of a sudden, I mean, it was like someone was stabbing me to death. It was so bad. I thought they were going to have to do surgery. I mean, it was the worst pain I've ever been in. I've never had a child. I don't know how bad that pain is, but it was the worst pain ever, and now I'm on these antibiotics, and I'm on a liquid diet today and tomorrow. I do have a shoot with the Wendy Williams show tomorrow with two guys. That's a blessing because I really needed that money for tomorrow for a one-day shoot. And, you know, it's just a one day. It's not the Miami series thing that I need. It's more consistent, you know, more consistent work.
Right, but again, you know, things look very good for you, the career-wise and everything else. And I'm glad you didn't do the surgery. I don't see that the surgery, you didn't really need the surgery or anything, so I'm glad you didn't do that. You know, just
thank God.
Because, you know, the body can heal itself, and just from now on you're going to just make sure you watch your diet as much as you can, and enjoy the shoot. It should go very well. And I just see the other project coming through. So a little bit of relaxing on your part.
Yeah.
You know, you seem to have. And when is the segment on? When will that air on the Wendy Williams show?
It should air, I think, this spring, which would be, I think, March or April will air.
So you're going to post it on Facebook and call in and let us know?
Yeah. Sure.
Will we look for you?
I'll let you guys know when I can tell you the name of it and all that. It does have to do with love. The two guys I have dated, but more on a friendship level, but they're perfect to discuss, you know, the different attributes of them. But yeah, I mean, it's I'm grateful. I'm grateful that, because it was canceled last week, and then I fought hard for it because I knew I really needed it in order just to make my car payment, you know, and then it came through, and then all of a sudden we're booked tomorrow morning, 9:30 a.m. is our call time, you know, and I was just like, oh, thank God, that was close, you know.
And that's why,
But I still got to get some more money coming in soon, you know, for the rent. My rent is due at the end of the month, and that's the next thing. That's all I can think about is how
am
I going to make
it. If you keep thinking that's not helping your stomach area, that chakra that worries about money and grounding. So Keep your faith going, and know that you can heal your body, and enjoy tomorrow's shoot, because something's going to probably come out of that, too. So,
really?
Yeah, just do your best there, you know.
Yeah, I'm still waiting to hear on Amsterdam, too, on the pilot. That's the big one. That's the biggest one of them all.
That's really delayed. I mean, I'm not sure exactly why, but there is two sources of income here. So maybe just as you're finishing up with the one project, this other one will be there. So try to believe a little bit in divine timing.
Yeah.
But, you know, you have a right to it. Those of you listening, when the laws of attraction don't seem to be moving fast enough, sometimes the universe wants for our older souls who have great patience, and we turn our anger into illness and depression. God wants us to get angry. You have a right to say, excuse me, I've been doing everything I'm supposed to be here. What are you guys doing up there? I need this, and I need it now. And usually I get great cosmic laughter, and the universe saying, we were waiting for you to get angry. What the hell is the matter with you?
That's how I feel right now.
So, exactly it.
I was really upset, too.
A little bit not on your knees and praying, a little bit like a little anger, a little I deserve this, I'm a good person, I'm doing everything I can to make the world a better place, but I need money, and I need it now.
Yeah.
And watch it manifest. So instead of turning your anger inward until illness, why don't you just, like, put it out to the universe?
Yeah.
And let them process it and let them bring you what you need.
Exactly. That's all I can do at this point is just keep the faith, because I don't know what else to do, you know?
Well,
I mean,
and keep the anger a little bit. Again, anger has worked for me. You know,
okay.
There's been times where I just start to say, God, I can't do my mission if I got to worry about money all the time. Really.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll just do something else. I'll just, you know, do another entire job. After all, the universe wants us on our mission. You have a strong mission. And it is to entertain us and make us laugh and make us, after a hard day's work, look at a beautiful lady on TV and enjoy her. So you have a strong mission. Entertainment's important. People need to relax. Life is hard. We need a little diversion.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, good luck to you. I want to try to take one more caller before the show ends. And keep Facebooking us.
Oh, I will, and happy Valentine's.
Well, thank you so much, and to you, too.
Okay, bye.
Thank you, Audrey. All
okay,
right,
Nicole,
so are you ready for one more?
Yes, dear.
Awesome. Okay, we are going to go to Maria in Washington, and she'd just like to know if you see her finances getting any better this year, Cindy.
Okay,
or she'd like to know what she can do to kind of aid that process and, you know, how to move things along for her.
Great.
Hello, Maria.
Hi,
Maria. Yes, money looks better for you. Are you learning something new and picking up some skills? Because it looks like you might need to do that.
I'm planning on taking a class or two, but I can't afford to, and so it's sort of a catch-22.
Okay. What is it that you're doing now to make a living?
The only thing I do right now is sell things on eBay, but that's not...
Yeah, that's one source of income. Okay, I see that. You have skills now that you could start to build on. It doesn't necessarily mean you have to go back to school. Sometimes it's getting a job that will require us to learn something on the job. Have you thought about doing that?
Oh, yes, very much so. I thought about so many different things.
Because there's a lot of mixed messages in these cards. It's like you don't know your own strengths. You have a lot of skills. And even with something like the eBay that you're doing, could you expand that by, you know, putting up posters? I mean, I know, you know, millions of people have a lot of stuff they'd like to sell on eBay, but they don't have the time to do it. They have jobs. They have other things. Could you possibly be doing that? Getting other people to, and then taking a commission on what you're selling there.
That's true. I could do that, yeah.
I mean,
absolutely.
It's really important. People, especially there's a lot of people who have estates to get rid of things. They have, you know, for instance, you know, when my parents died, there's tons of stuff that I have. You know, having someone who would be able to, you know, sell that, help it, move it, would be wonderful. And you have an important skill. I don't know if you realize it.
What do you think it is?
You know, and a lot of the, well, even just your eBay is an important skill. You know how to do that. You could make money with that. But as far as career-wise, it's just really figuring out, do you like to deal with people? Is that something you'd like to do?
Well, okay.
Or are you a person who likes to, because it looks like if you knew who you were and you knew more of the kind of job you would like to do, it would be helpful for you. You're not sure. It doesn't look like you fully know yourself.
No, I know. I just don't have any money to go in that direction. And that's kind of why I was wondering if you saw. Unfortunately, right now I'm at the point where I just have to kind of keep the roof over my head. I mean, I haven't even paid the rent for this month. And
right.
You said it was going to get better. I'm wondering what.
Yes, it definitely looks like it's going to get better. But sometimes it's God helps those who help themselves. Thinking along the line, immediate. You need some immediate money. The answer, we have a long-term goal, but immediately, if you have skills that you could immediately begin to do something, that would bring more money in, because there is an immediacy here. There's a long-term, much better money and learning and growing, but there is something you need to be doing a little bit more now. And what have you done in the past?
Well, in the past, I've been a wedding photographer. I've worked at a publishing company. I've worked in the hospitality industry. So I
know you've got a million skills here. That's why I'm saying it. This, it looks as if you're just selling yourself short. Do you ever just look through the newspaper or look online for a job that you might not think you're fully qualified for, but you could certainly translate some of the skills that you have?
Well, I want to be a freelance person. I don't really want a job.
Right. And again, that's why if you could do the eBay part-time, sometimes we need to have two jobs, one that's part-time, one something else. If you could do the eBay and you could you do some freelance photography and start doing some other of the freelance skills that you have?
Yes, but I've been out of it for a few years, and I do need a few startup costs.
If you would be clear to the universe you want to go back into photography, you need these certain fees and things so that you can get the equipment that you need, the universe would help you. It's just that you're given a lot of mixed messages, so the universe can't help you when you're not clear in a vision. Do you have a vision of where you want to be?
Oh, I do. I just don't have faith in myself. But
okay,
you're right.
That's the difference. Older souls have too much humility. You've got a million skills in these cards. Anybody else, a younger soul, a person like a Paris Hilton who has very little talent, very little skill, she makes $280 million a year. If you would market yourself better and believe in yourself better, and I want you to, for the next couple of days, to look at yourself that you're not marketing you, you're marketing your skills. And act like you just met yourself and start writing down the skills that you have. You might be surprised how many you have. And start putting your belief in yourself, because you really, there's a two cards. One's a very creative card. It's probably linked to the photography. Then there's another source of income. You're quite capable of making very good money. You just haven't applied yourself, and you're asking other people to tell you what it is. We have to find inside of ourselves that answer, that treasure, and you have it inside of you. But
you know
you want to be a freelance person. You know you want to do some photography. Start with that as a point of reference, and figure out where you can go with that. But don't give away your creative skills, because you won't be happy to do a job that isn't creative.
The other skills that I have, are they all creative, or is this something I really can't think of what it is that you're talking about.
How old are you?
I'm 37.
Okay, because if someone told me when I was 37 I was going to be a psychic medium, I would have laughed. I would say, are you kidding me? We have a lot of gifts and skills inside of ourselves that if we take the next step starting, you know, following your photography, it could lead you in connection with another person who might be starting a magazine or doing something that they need you. It's just getting yourself forward and then watching what manifests and not really worrying about all the answers, but you do have a couple of skills right now you can be making money with. And just believing in yourself and marketing yourself and maybe do the eBay, do something, do the photography. Start really getting your foot out there.
And also remember, nothing has got to be permanent. It's okay if you want something that's freelance, but at the same time, if you need something that has more of immediate cash flow, do it. You know, make the money that you can, and then use that as a stepping stone to get someplace else where you will be your own boss and where you will be able to do what you want to do, which is ultimately to freelance and not keep, you know, a regular 9-to-5, so to speak.
Exactly.
You know, use the stepping stones that you have, you know. Use everything as a vehicle to move forward as opposed to just waiting around for the right opportunity and then just trying to jump for it.
Right, and even if you know, when I was a belly dancer and learning to do it, and I was working in restaurants about 35 years ago, and a woman came in to do a belly dance show, and I said, you know, I could do that, you know, and she auditioned me and said, well, why don't we start a bellygram company? And from there, I launched a very lucrative business, but I was doing something I didn't want to do, waiting on tables. But if I hadn't been there, I wouldn't have met this woman. So sometimes it's just getting us ourselves out there, meeting people, getting the immediate money we need and seeing where it'll take us. Well, good luck to you. The show time is over, so I want to thank Nicole and all of our callers. And Nicole, do you have a shout-out today, honey?
Yeah, actually, I just wanted to thank everybody for listening. I want to wish everybody a happy Valentine's Day and to remind those of you who do have lovers in your life, every day should be Valentine's Day, guys, so make this day extra special. And for those of you who do not have a lover on Valentine's Day, just because you don't have that somebody else does not mean that you cannot treat yourself to something. So I hope everybody has a great day.
That's right. They're single on Valentine's Day. There's
you know,
many...
for years I had the best love affair with myself, so it's all right.
Right. There's many reasons to celebrate being single as well. Well, we'll talk
Absolutely.
To you next week, 7 o'clock, same time, same place. Bye.
Thanks, Cindy. Happy Valentine's Day to you and TJ, too.
Thank you.